Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Now, there may be some of you who have gotten to a point where you're so low that you think God has forgotten about you. There may be someone who finds themselves today at a point of uncertainty. You don't know whether to turn left or right. You don't know whether to cry or smile. And regarding whatever it is that's making you feel this way, if it's sin, if it's an addiction, if it's your marriage, or if it's the fact you can't seem to find someone to marry, if it's your job or financial situation, I want to encourage you to pray about it. Pray about it before you give up. Pray about it before you look anywhere else. Pray about it before you look to anyone else. And the reason I'm telling you to pray about it is because too often when we find ourselves in these uncertain positions, we either drift away and get lost in the sea of our problems, or we start paddling, trying to find a way out of our problems. We start trying to use our own strength to get out of the mess we're in. We do our best to use our resources and know-how just to try to save ourselves. But I would like to encourage you to pray about it. Call on the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. When I read Jeremiah 33, verse 3, which says, "Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." When I read that scripture, I hear the word of God telling me to pray about it. Whatever situation you face today, whatever circumstance or situation, God wants you to call to him. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me." That means pray about it. So let your hope be found in God. He says, "Trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you." He says, "Abide in me, and I will restore you." He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." As children of God, in every battle we find ourselves in, we are always fighting from a position of victory. It's not a case that we're fighting for victory, but rather from victory. Because I want you to understand this. When you fight for victory, then that means your enemy has a chance. However, in Jesus and with Jesus, we have the victory. So we fight from a position of victory. And so my message to you is clear. Don't be disheartened. Don't be frightened. You're not looking to win. You're fighting from a position of strength. The battle has already been decided. And Jesus Christ wins. He is undefeated. Now remember this. For the battle in your family, you're fighting from a position of victory because you have Jesus. For that battle concerning your children, you're fighting from a position of victory. Whatever the fight is that's before you, remember that you are fighting from a position of victory because of Jesus Christ.
One of the things that I love about the Lord is that he loves to go to the places where he can find those who have been rejected, those who have been hurt and abandoned. He loves to go to places that nobody puts high on the map. In fact, Mark 2, verses 15 through 17 says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. This passage epitomizes exactly why I love the Lord. He is a God who makes it his business to go and place himself in a situation where there are those who've been forgotten, denied, shunned away, and pushed to the side. God loves to connect with people who others consider to be outcasts. He's a God who gives us what we don't deserve.
Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
We don't deserve eternal life, but he offers it to us. We don't deserve the great love that he has shown us, but he continuously gives it. We don't deserve his amazing grace, but his grace is still sufficient. And none of us deserve mercy, but we have to thank the Lord for his mercy. The Bible says in Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Now, life can be bittersweet at times. It's a combination of enjoying the good and pressing through the bad. It's a balance between working hard and enjoying the fruits of your labor. There's a duality to life. Smiles and tears. Defeats and victories. Love and heartbreak. And the thing is, all of us go through tough times. All of us go through seasons where it seems as though the odds are stacked against us. And pain, well, pain becomes a feeling we're all too acquainted with. In Psalm 119, verse 71, David said, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." You see, the Lord is concerned more about our character than our comfort level. He cares more about our growth as believers than the number of blessings we receive. I would even say that God is more concerned with the state of our hearts than our happiness. I believe that as we go through life and face different trials, should we remain in the Lord? Should we continue trusting in the mighty name of Jesus Christ? Should we stand firm and believe God's promises to be true? Then we will experience what the Bible talks about in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. As the Bible says, "Consider it nothing but joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you fall into various trials. Be assured that the testing of your faith through experience produces endurance, leading to spiritual maturity and inner peace. And let endurance have its perfect result, and do a thorough work, so that you may be perfect and completely developed in your faith, lacking in nothing." And so with all this fresh on our hearts and in our minds, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another day. We thank you for your grace and your mercies that are new every morning. Father, I pray that you would strengthen our hearts today. May the Holy Spirit strengthen our faith today. May he remind us that when the troubles of life start to overwhelm us, we have a friend in Jesus. When our problems are many, and we need relief, when we need peace, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would remind us that we have a friend in Jesus. We serve a living God who is more than able to carry our burdens and to give us rest. Lord, I know that you are an all-powerful God. There is nothing that is too difficult in my life for you to deal with. you still move mountains, and you still cause walls to fall. There is nothing too big for you, and for that, Lord, I'm grateful. Father, I'm grateful that you first loved me. And I pray that you would give us the strength to rise up each day and fight against the struggles which seek to weigh us down. Lord, I praise your name, for you are the God of the impossible. There is nothing too big for you to handle. No problem too great. No challenge too difficult for you to overcome. God, I know that you can do anything. And I'm asking that in the middle of my weakness, would you make your strength known? Father, with each and everyone listening today, we bring before you our burdens and our troubles. Lord, help us not to fear, but to trust you. Help us not to be discouraged, but to have joy in you. Holy Spirit, help us not to take the goodness and kindness of the Lord for granted. Lord, I declare my faith in your ability to fulfill every one of your promises to me. I know that you will fight for me, and you will win the battles in my life. Lord, you're mighty, you're powerful, you're righteous, and you're true. And God, I bless your name right now. Your word says the Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I bless your holy name, Lord, and I thank you for your promises. I confess by faith that my Lord will keep me from all harm. Jehovah Jireh will provide a watch over my life and will preserve me from all evil. I declare that evil will not touch me or come near my house, because my Savior will preserve my going out and my coming in. You are my shepherd, my guide, my source of hope. May your name be glorified, Lord Jesus, from this day forth and even forevermore. I pray that the words I have spoken may be established in the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening to this prayer. Father, thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you go into any family, there are customs, there are traditions, they have ways of doing things. Some eat at the table together every night. Some go to the local diner every Christmas Eve, and they've done so for the past 20 years. If you go to some parts of the world, in certain communities, they have their own traditions and customs. Certain African traditions require the man to pay a dowry payment to the family of the bride before marriage. In certain Jewish communities, they have a coming-of-age ceremony, a bat mitzvah. All across the world, people from all kinds of walks of life all have their own traditions and customs. But there is a man in the Bible who had a very interesting custom that he follows. And this man is known for other things, and I'll tell you his name in a moment, but this man had a custom that constantly brought him closer to God, a custom that drove his heart toward the Lord. And I believe it was his custom, what he did on a regular basis, it was this that caused him to experience the power of God in his life. The man I'm talking about is Daniel. And yes, we all know Daniel because he was delivered from the lion's den, but I want to highlight a different side to Daniel that you may never have paid attention to. The Bible in Daniel 6, verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Daniel's custom was prayer. Daniel's habit was prayer. And I want you to notice that he prayed in secret. His relationship with God was sacred to him. It wasn't for public display so that people would say he is holy. No, it wasn't for people to see. But Daniel went home, to his room, to his prayer closet, and got on his knees, and it was just him and the Lord. Now, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly."
In the New Testament, there is a key message that comes up over and over again. And do you know what this message concerns? It's about prayer. In Romans 12, we're told to be constant in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're told to pray without ceasing. In Ephesians 6, we're told to pray at all times. In the book of Colossians, chapter 4, we're told to continue steadfastly in prayer. In James chapter 5, the Bible says, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." Now, these are just a few scriptures. I haven't even touched on all Jesus' teachings about prayer that are given in the four Gospels. And so, people of God, let's fight to pray. When life is good, remember to pray. When life is challenging, remember to pray. Come rain or sunshine, just pray. Regardless of the season you're in, you have to fight to pray. And you're actually strengthened by those prayers. One of the reasons why we have to be so strong in prayer is because as children of God, we have enemies. We have the devil and his demons to contend with, and then we have the world and the flesh as enemies. But I want you to understand that all of these enemies that we face as believers, they have one thing in common. They cannot win against the power of God. They cannot overcome the blood of Jesus. The enemies we face, they cannot destroy a person who fears God. They cannot overwhelm someone who's always found to be in the posture of prayer. Now, Psalm 34, verse 7 reads, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them."
Saints of God, I encourage you to find a quiet place to pray that is your own. Find a prayer closet. Find a quiet place where you can be alone with the Lord. A place to meet with your Heavenly Father in secret, away from the constant notifications of a cell phone, away from the endless chatter of the television, and away from the interruptions of friends and family members. The Bible says, "When you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." I believe that the Bible tells us to pray in this manner because we need to respect our time with God. We need to give Him His due reverence. Our prayer time ought to be sacred. We need to give God honor by shutting off the world and focusing purely on Him. I changed my own prayer life by treating it as a divine appointment with the Lord. No interruptions, no distractions, just time alone with Jesus. So here's what I'd like to encourage you to do after finding a quiet place to pray. Begin by repenting. Begin by confessing your sins and asking for the Lord to have mercy on you, because none of us are perfect. As humans, we sin knowingly and sometimes unknowingly, so be mindful of that. And then move to ask the Lord to show you if there's anything in your heart, in your life, that is hindering your walk with Him. Pray from Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, which says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Jesus spoke of a precious promise belonging to those who have a pure heart in Matthew 5, verse 8, which says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Don't you desire to see God? Don't you desire to see His hand move and work in your life? Don't you desire to see His goodness, His protection and favor all at work in your life? So I encourage you to begin treating your prayer time as a divine appointment with the Lord. My prayer today, Lord, is that I may be conscious and sensitive about giving you my full, undivided attention. My prayer today is that God would help me to find a place far away from the distractions of this world so that I can be fully immersed in His love and in His presence. And for every believer listening, I encourage you to follow Daniel's example. Make prayer a daily, habitual practice. Get on your knees often. Lock yourself in a room with God often. Be in His presence often. And the Lord will surely work wonders in your life.
Saints, God is with us. But we must not be blinded to the dangers of prayerlessness. Prayerlessness opens the door to the enemy. Prayerlessness results in a person becoming spiritually dull and desensitized to the things of God. Now, we all know that praying is not easy. Praying should not be casual. It is spiritual warfare. That's why the Bible says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, for pulling down strongholds." Prayer is a weapon that we can all use as children of God. And so I encourage you, dear friends, do not neglect this weapon of prayer. If God is with us, who can stand against us? Who can stand against Jesus? No one. No man, no demon, no devil. So fear God and pray daily. Pray without ceasing. Be constant in prayer. God acts in response to prayer. So in conclusion, I want to remind you to persevere in prayer. Keep pushing in prayer.
From the moment you accept the Lord, from the moment that you ask Jesus Christ to enter your heart, there is an enemy that comes against you, an enemy that tries to distract you from realizing the abundant life that God has in store for you. But this is no matter to be afraid of. It's no matter to be afraid of as long as you are aware and guarded against the schemes of the enemy. The devil attacks your mind because your thought life dominates and controls your attitude. It controls how you view things. It controls how you accept things and how you deal with things. Your thought life impacts so much. That's why it's so very important that you keep a careful watch on your thoughts, because your life cannot become any bigger than your thoughts. As a man thinks, so is he. The mind is the spiritual battleground where the battle is either won or lost. Satan is aware that if he can influence what you think, then he can also influence how you behave and act. That's why the Bible calls us to meditate on the Word of God, so that we may be empowered. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." Regarding this passage of Scripture, one commentary reads, "Paul writes to those who are saved by faith in Christ. Their goal was to live with an eternal perspective rather than a focus on the rules and regulations of this world. Rather than following a set of rules, Christians are to submit moment by moment to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul then explains, while believers are to focus on eternal matters, Christians are to set their minds above, so to speak, because that is where Christ is. Christ is not on earth or in the grave. He is at God's right hand. I would like to encourage you to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. We are to set our minds and hearts on godly things, heavenly things, things that concern the kingdom of God. Make a conscious decision to win the battle of your mind today. Don't let negative thoughts or ungodly thoughts contaminate you. The scripture tells us to guard our minds because the mind is a doorway, and you are the only one who can determine what goes in and what stays. So immerse yourself in God's Word so that you can realize who you are in Christ. You are well able and strong in the Lord. Sometimes life can get us sidetracked. Life can keep us intensely busy, and sometimes life can result in us becoming distracted on what should be our number one priority, that is, Jesus Christ. I believe that when Paul encourages us to set our hearts on things above, that means waking up every day and saying, Lord, I am yours. Be praised today. Help me to focus on your word and on your will today. So would you join me in this prayer today, seeking that the Lord may help me and you to set our minds and hearts, to focus our minds and hearts on things above. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you are gracious and faithful, marvelous in all your ways. My prayer today is that you would help us to renew our minds. Help us to focus on the eternal, on heavenly things. Help us to have a hunger and a desire to chase heavenly rewards instead of earthly praise from men. I seek to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," from you. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us to stay focused on Jesus Christ. Help us because so many things are always competing for our attention, and we need the supernatural strength that you offer. We need your help to keep us from being distracted and being pulled away from God. Your word in John chapter 15, verse 5 to 7, says that, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Thank you for such a promise, Lord. As we abide in you, and as your word abides in us, you have promised that whatever we will ask and desire shall be done. Father, may your will be done. May your will be accomplished in our lives. Father, give us the grace to be obedient to your word and to abide in you. Help me to abide in you and you in me so that I can be a Christian who bears much fruit in your kingdom. Keep me from relying on my own resources and abiding outside of your will, because without you, I am like a branch that is withered. I thank you for such a promise, and I invite you into every area of my mind and heart. Fill me with your presence, Lord. I invite you to abide within me and begin to change me inside out, so that I can begin to demonstrate godly characteristics, so that I may begin to show compassion to others, so that I can have a humble spirit, a patient and forgiving spirit. And above all, help me to be a Christian who has and shows the love of Christ to others. I pray that if I had my mind and priorities elsewhere, may you bring me to a place where my only desire, my only focus is chasing after you, after your presence, in search for direction in my life. I pray that you protect me from being led astray by what the world's standards are, or from worldly expectations and behavior. Lord Jesus, take control of our minds and our thoughts. We bless your holy name. Amen.
People of God, I want to ask you something. When was the last time you publicly acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Now, it may have been to a coworker that you see every day, or to someone you just met and struck up a conversation with. But overall, I believe that every single one of us during the course of our lives, we will have at least one opportunity to publicly declare what we believe and who we believe in. The Bible says in Matthew 10, verse 32, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven." Now, I don't know about you saints, but here's my confession. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can get to the Father except through Jesus. I believe he is the bread of life. He is the one who can sustain us. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and in him you will find peace beyond all human understanding. I believe Jesus Christ is the light of the world and the Good Shepherd. I believe he was a healer and a miracle worker when he walked here on this earth. And I also believe that he is still able to do the impossible, even today. I believe he died on a cross for our sins, for my sins. And I believe that he rose back to life after 3 days and ascended on high. And right now, he is seated on the right side of the Father. Listen to me. In the name of Jesus, there is power. Jesus Christ is the name above every other name. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the risen one, the almighty one. When we speak that name, the mighty name of Jesus Christ, every sickness has to bow. Every disease has to leave. Every chain has to loose. And so here is my word to you as believers. We should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should never compromise the word of God so that we can fit into this world. We should not be ashamed of the gospel because the devil and the world, they are aggressively spreading a message of deception. The devil in this world is aggressively trying to lead people away from the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it's time that we as believers of Jesus Christ, it's time for us to stand up and to declare to the world that there is a Savior. There is someone who can set you free if you're bound. There is a Redeemer, and his name is Jesus Christ. Saints, we should not be ashamed of the gospel, but as Christians, we must stand up and fight for the gospel. We must rise up as sons and daughters of the Most High and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
An important element of every believer's life and growth is to have a willing heart. A heart that says, "Yes, Lord." A heart that loves the Lord thy God. A heart that says, "God, your will be done above my own wants and needs." When we do this, When we submit and yield our lives to God, then we get into a place where we can receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. And make no mistake, people of God, every believer needs the Holy Spirit as their teacher. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the will of God. The Holy Spirit is truly a phenomenal gift to the believer once we tap into His power. The Amplified Translation of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10 says, "For God has unveiled them and revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things diligently, even sounding and measuring the profound depths of God, the divine counsels, and things far beyond human understanding." When we invite and allow the Holy Spirit into our lives, He helps us to establish a closer relationship with the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be our teacher, tugging at our heart and soul, teaching us to obey the Lord, to stand and to trust fully in God. He will enable us to put all of our cares on Him, for He is greater than any problem. It's through the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that we learn to develop a greater reliance, a greater level of trust in the Lord Almighty. When we submit and yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to rely less and less on human understanding, on human wisdom or strength. We move away from trusting in our own abilities and move to complete and total trust in the God of all ages. Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." Did you get that? If you need wisdom and understanding, pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you. If you need counsel and might, if you need knowledge, pray that the Holy Spirit will fill you. Now, finally, I would like to read Ezekiel 36, verse 26 to 27, which says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Let us pray and invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. In your love and mercy, you never left us to fend for ourselves here on earth. You never left us to fight with our own strength, but instead, you gave us a helper. You gave us the Holy Ghost. As we pray right now,
live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.